After a small PBS station in California aired Martin Scorsese's documentary The Blues, the Federal Communications imposed a $15,000 fine. During the episode, several people uttered words that the FCC says you cannot use before 10 o'clock at night. Last week, the president of the Public Broadcasting Service, PBS, complained that FCC guidelines are not clear and that they threaten the financial future of some member stations and the integrity of future programs. And PBS faces other challenges: competition for viewers, sponsorship, and funding. We've invited Paula Kerger, the new president and chief executive officer of PBS, to join us. And we want to hear from you. If you have questions about the FCC and indecency, or questions about the future of public television, give us a call. The number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. Paula Kerger is with us now in Studio 3A. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Very nice to be here, Neil.
Before we begin, I should point out that National Public Radio and PBS are two separate organizations, though we do sometimes work together. What worries you about FCC indecency fines?
Well, for us, this is a big issue, and I think that it is clear to anyone that spends much time watching public television that our work is not organized to be sensational or salacious, but we just try to do good work. We try to tell stories well. And this recent situation with the Martin Scorsese work, I think, calls to attention an issue related to what's happening with the FCC around indecency that for us is very troubling, and that's in some of our documentary work. We are very careful in our editorial policies in making sure that the stories we tell are and when the issues of what the FCC is now deeming inappropriate language come up, that it is integral to the storytelling. We have had situations in some recent front lines where there is language that the FCC has deemed problematic that is used in connection with war stories. And we have a big documentary coming up next year that Ken Burns has produced on World War II that, in fact, in order to explain one of the chapters of his work, Snafu, you need to use a word that is not appropriate. And so we are concerned because for our filmmakers, in order to showcase their work on public broadcasting, we would like to be able to have the flexibility in context to make those editorial judgments. Mm-hmm. What the recent ruling has said to us is we want to make those rulings for you, and we are not going to give you a clearer definition on how to make those rulings. So we're just sort of flying by the seat of our pants here.
Well, one thing that did happen is that stations that carried that program after 10 o'clock, nothing happened.
That's right.
This station carried it at 9 o'clock.
That's right. The whole issue with this language is there's the issue of safe harbor. So the premise behind the FCC having jurisdiction for over-the-air broadcast is that the airwaves belong to the people, and the FCC has jurisdiction for programs that air prior to 10 o'clock because it is considered a possibility that children may be in the room and see. It's assumed that after 10 o'clock that there are no children in the room, so you're therefore in safe harbor and have a little bit more leniency mm-hmm. in terms of indecent language. Anything that is obscene, obviously, is not appropriate at any time. And so I think that for us, when you think of the audience, you know, at 10 o'clock, you have a different audience in parts of the country at 10 o'clock. More people are in bed. And I think that for certain works, we have made the decision to air them after 10 o'clock. But for others, and I think Ken's work is a great example, we want to be able to air that earlier. We certainly will air disclaimers around it indicating that there is language that may be problematic for some viewers to give them the opportunity to not hear it if they find it offensive. But I think for others that want to be able to see a documentary as it was created, we want to be able to let people tell the story in their own voices.
And of course, I think most people would agree that war is often a great deal more than heck.
It is. I know it's shocking to some, but, you know, sometimes in the course of war, people use language a little stronger than heck.
And the other part of it is it's not an trivial fine. It used to be a maximum of $32,500.
Right.
Congress
right.
just raised the maximum amount
to $325,000. And even, even at its current level, for a station like San Mateo, which is a station with a budget of just a couple million dollars, the $32,000 fine is not a small fine. I mean, I think that the important thing to remember is that our stations look at this content very carefully and they make thoughtful decisions. I used to run a station in New York, mm-hmm. and I used to be in the position of making these decisions, and I can tell you There are stories that when you look at the story, edited and unedited, the editing makes a difference. It waters down the story. Sometimes it doesn't make a difference. And I think in those cases, it's a pretty straightforward decision. But in other cases, eliminating that language changes the story.
You have been, in some circumstances, I was reading, blurring the lips of people as they speak so that there could be no ability to even read lips to transmit what might be indecent language that way.
I think where we have been is trying to sort out what the FCC is telling us. We have been trying to work with our member stations in helping them make thoughtful decisions, and this is a moving target. And I think that for a period of time, we did that in a couple circumstances. I think we have now decided that we don't need to do that, and I think that was a bit of an overreaction, to be perfectly candid. But I think that it draws attention to the fact that we're all just trying to figure this out on the fly and hoping that we don't make mistakes, because the mistakes are costly. Because remember, it's not just the fine. It's also you are incurring all the legal costs in trying to respond. The San Mateo station, we've been supportive of that station. Actually, this week we'll be filing an amicus brief in support of that station. They have gotten some good pro bono counsel, but it has taken a toll on a very small station that is very stretched as it is.
And fines are always imposed on the station, the licensee,
on the station.
And not the
originator. Yeah, I would not sustain the fine. It's the station. It's whoever is broadcasting is actually the entity that sustains the fine.
Well, should we go back to clearer, line in the sand, 7 dirty words?
No. And I think none of my colleagues would suggest that either. I think what we are hoping that we will be able to the position that we'll be able to reach with the FCC is that in context, we will be able to make those decisions. And that is how we've operated for a number of years. And I think that that is the appropriate place where we need to be.
Should there be somebody to approve this in advance?
Well, I don't know about that. I would hate to have to go in front of a censor board, mm-hmm. which I think is what you're suggesting.
Yeah.
And I think that, we have been given, I think, by, virtue of our license. And that's the other thing I also want to say, is that it's not just the fines that are at stake. All of our stations have licenses that go through periodic review and renewal. Mm-hmm. And if you have these verdicts against you, it can play against the possibility of having your license renewed or revoked. And so it's even more at stake than just the financing the finances of these fines. It's the fact that actually a station's ability to hold on to those licenses could be at jeopardy.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. If you'd like to join us, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And we'll begin with Colin, who's calling from Oklahoma City.
Yes, Neil, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that, I remember 20 years ago, I was a kid, and PBS would routinely have risque material on nudity, whatever. Not a whole lot, but every once in a while. And it didn't damage me or anything. I don't remember there being controversy back then about it. Why is it so, why is it such a big deal now?
What's changed?
Well, our programming policy hasn't changed. I think what has changed is that the FCC for a number of years was not as vigilant on these issues. What changed, frankly, was Janet Jackson. And after the issue with Janet Jackson in the Super Bowl, there became a lot of public attention on both indecency and obscenity. And since then, there's been a great escalation in the vigilance over these types of situations.
Colin, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Let's get Barbara on the line. Barbara's calling us from Taos in New Mexico.
Hey.
Barbara, go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm a regular viewer of PBS, and I have been for some 35 years. I choose PBS, and I support it because of its content, and I want to be able to see the programs in their original original production values, and I don't want some other agency or some cultural group editing that for me. And I believe that what we see on PBS has always been high quality programming, some of the best we have ever seen. It's some of our best programming is on PBS. And that I really sort of resent. I mean, Ken Burns is a fabulous documentary filmmaker, that we should edit him, that someone should be fined for some words. And like the last caller said, you know, yes, there's been some nudity, but since when is seeing a breast obscenity?
Barbara, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. What do you? The FCC says that we need to decide this on a case-by-case basis. They allowed, they had no problems with broadcasting, Saving Private Ryan in prime time. That includes some of the very same words that would be at issue, I would assume, in the Ken Burns documentary.
Well, it's interesting. The way that the FCC becomes involved is if a viewer complains. And so in the case of San Mateo, there was a single viewer that had complained in that market, contacted the FCC. That's what triggers the process. So that's how it works. The interesting thing about the Saving Private Ryan ruling, which was one of the questions that I had when I met with some of the commissioners, is that it is hard for us to understand the precedents that are being set, which is how we base our decisions on what we can and cannot do. Because in the case of Saving Private Ryan, you have a piece of dramatic work where someone wrote those words and put them in the mouths of actors. In the case of our documentaries, we have people telling their own stories. And so for me, the conflict here is Saving Private Ryan was okay. That was a fictional piece of work. It was a very powerful film. The Martin Scorsese documentary was on blues musicians, and them using the language, their own language, to tell their own story is not okay. And I don't see how you can, you know, align those two cases.
What did they say to you in response?
They said that they felt that Saving Private Ryan was a singular event, that it was a powerful story, and they didn't feel that the same standard applied to Martin Scorsese.
So they were responding in terms of the quality of the broadcast?
I cannot tell you. They felt that Saving Private Ryan was appropriate. That's how they ruled on that. And obviously, they have seen the blues as a very different story.
Paula Kerger is the president of the Public Broadcasting Service and chief executive officer as of March 13th, 2006. She's with us here in Studio 3A. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let me get another caller on the line, and this will be Sue. Sue's calling from Fraser, Pennsylvania.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a comment, and that is that public television, by its very nature, is supported by the public. We call in on pledge and let you know what kind of programs we want. I think if there were a public outcry, that would be one thing. But we are paying the money just like we would pay for a premium cable station. And I personally have been watching television for more than 50 years. I can't find anything on television that's better than what the public television programs offer. And I think that the FCC should get out of it. And I also think that wasn't there some issue last year, the year before, that the federal money was not going to be forthcoming, or that it was going to be cut substantially for public television? And anyway, that's my comment, and I'll take my comment off the air. Thank you.
All right. Just to say, I think the government sees broadcast television as quite a distinct category from cable, which you opt for, certainly pay cable, which you decide for.
Pay cable, and just to be clear about this, pay cable it operates under very different restrictions than over the air. Over the air is deemed public airwaves, and so the FCC has jurisdiction. Pay cable, because you are purchasing pay cable, that is not under the same obligations, which is why you can watch the same words we're talking about on The Sopranos, but you cannot watch those words on public television that's broadcast over the air.
And what about the funding cuts issue that she asked about?
The funding cuts issue was certainly a very real challenge for both public television and public radio last year. And that was a huge issue because the public signaled their support to members of Congress. We were able to restore those funds. This year, we are under a bit of the same issues, but not as severe cuts. But still, every year, we have to fight to keep our funding.
And let's talk to Rich. Rich calling us from Mount Shasta in California.
You know, I'm a 30-year broadcaster, and we have followed those rules for longer than I've been a broadcaster. And I think you ought to have to follow the same rules that we have followed.
Do you think the rules are clear to be followed?
I think that they are clear enough. They know the intent. They know the intent as well as I do. And I've done talk radio in some major markets and had to watch my language for years and was able to communicate successfully.
Paula Kirkin?
Well, I think what we've seen over certainly the last, I've been in this business for almost 14 years, and up until this past year, there was a great deal more latitude of the kinds of stories that we can tell. Obviously, we are very careful with programs that are geared for children. Obviously, when we broadcast programs in prime time that are geared for a more adult audience, we flag those programs. But these recent rounds of rulings came through right after the Super Bowl incident, we actually were in the position of re-editing works that we had aired multiple times before. So this is a very new interpretation of the rule. And also, if you remember the original ruling of George Carlin was that late 70s, early 80s, there has been a change in what words were then not appropriate and are now allowed. So it is a moving target. It is not static. And I think the way that the language has been interpreted is that we are supposed to use our judgment based on community standards, and that is a moving target.
Rich, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And Paula Kirkin, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Paula Kirkin, the Chief Executive Officer of PBS and its president. She joined us here in Studio 3A. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.